I shared with your pastor that I want to share with you today for a while. I'm not sure how long, but whatever the Lord deals, on the divine guest. And Pastor John told me that he had been ministering on the Holy Spirit. I said, well, I'm just telling you what the Lord laid in my heart. And he said, fantastic. So anyway, that's what I want to share with you. Is the divine guest. And I hope you can get a sense of who he is and where he is and what he's doing in your life and in my life. And I was thinking there during the worship time, this whole thing just boils down to really a scripture that says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And literally, that's what it means. That's what it is, the divine guest. I like to start with Acts 1 and 5, and listen closely if you would. So I don't want to lose you along the way. The divine guest. In Acts 1 and 5, the Word of God says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then I thought back, I was reading in 1 Samuel 10 and 6. It said, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will be turned into another man. That means man or woman. And that's true. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I know in my own life, it made me into another person. It changed me. Everybody's changed. Everybody said it changed me. He'll change you. Amen. He's able to do that. Nobody else is able to do that. Amen. My mom and dad tried to do that all the years that I was growing up, and they never succeeded. I was who I was. But at the same time, the change that takes place. And my mother, I'll never forget my mother. I was traveling. She was not a Christian. And we were traveling towards Bedford. I was taking her and to Bedford. I don't know what I was taking her for. I don't remember that. But anyway, she was in a car. And I was witnessing to her. And I said, Mom, you need to give your heart to Jesus. She just broke down and began to cry. She said, Gary, you are such a different person. You're not the same person as you was before. That's what Jesus will do for you, for me, for all of us. Can you say amen? That's what he did for Joyce. He'll do that for anyone that calls upon him out of a sincere heart. I want to speak to you for a few moments about the advent of the Holy Spirit. The advent of the Holy Spirit. St. Augustine called the day of Pentecost the birthday of the Holy Spirit, much like the birthday of Jesus when Mary brought forth her son. The birthday. Now, you're sitting there, and boy, I can see the wheels just starting to turn. Amen. And that's good. Even though Jesus was incredibly involved from the very beginning of time, only at his birth in Bethlehem was Jesus in his official capacity. I want you to think for a minute. Follow what I'm saying here about this, the advent of the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Holy Spirit from the beginning of time was extremely involved. You've read it in the Bible. If you've read the Bible, that it's there. That's just exactly the way it is. From the very beginning of time, the Holy Spirit was involved, but only from the day of Pentecost did the Holy Spirit take up his residence on the earth. So we're talking about Jesus and his birth, and we're talking about the birth of the Holy Spirit. Even though they were very involved, when they come in to stay. They took up their residence here, and they're here today. Can you say amen? That's where they are. the day of Pentecost, St. Augustine said, but there is an official capacity that the Holy Spirit, when he arrived on Pentecost, something changed. Can you say amen? Before that, the Holy Spirit would come down on a certain individual, this gentleman here, and do a certain thing and lift off of him. Come on, this lady, do a certain thing and gone. But not after the advent of the Holy Spirit and the advent of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? One of the greatest promises to me, church, that Jesus ever made is recorded in the book of John. And here's what he said. And to me and to you, it's very, very important. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And here is the powerful part. And we will come to him and make our home with him. That's the biggie. And make their home with you. As individuals. Not necessarily with everyone. So the question that I've jotted down here is, when was this fulfilled? When was this fulfilled? John 14, 23 says, we will come. The Lord said, we will come and make our home. Now, you have a home. When you leave here today, you're going to your home. Listen to what he's saying. He said, we will make our home with him in this world, in the world that we're living in, because it's an advent on the birthday of Jesus. In the day of Pentecost, that was the advent. We always celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the Holy Spirit, and we celebrate the birthday of Jesus. Amen? I'm taking you somewhere now. Stay with me. Stay with me and listen closely to what it is. So how many listening to that? How many of the Trinity hold residence on the earth with mankind? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The only one that's not here yet is the Father. Amen? But that's what he's saying. Now listen closely, because you'll see something in God fashion in this word. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, I may just read part of this, but I want you to get what he's saying. The Lord showed me this years and years ago, and I've never forgotten it, and it came back to me when I was jotting this down. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, he says, now the Lord is that Spirit. How about that? Now the Lord is that Spirit. It's in your Bible. Read it later, and you'll see why I'm saying that. We always use the latter part of that verse. We always do, but we don't use the first part of the verse. We use the second part of the verse. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. How many of you ever used that? Let me see your hands. I see hands going up all. We always use that part of the verse, don't we? But we don't use the front part. And the front part, the first part of that verse, is powerful. Because it tells us what's happening and what God is really doing and who he is. He said, now the Lord is that Spirit. Now the Lord is that Spirit. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Amen? And the Bible is saying here, he's combining that. And he said, now the Lord is that Spirit. Oh, now that's amazing. That's deep. That's deep. You have to pray that one through to be able to get that. In Luke 3:16, John answered and said to them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen? I hope you're with me. I haven't lost you so far. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Who baptizes you with the Holy Spirit? Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? That's who does it. The Lord is that Spirit. So the second thing that I want to share with you, now that you have that and understand all of it, amen? You're really quiet, I can tell you that. You're a quiet bunch. Amen. Praise God. I look back to see and find out something here about the Cataluma, to see what the Lord had to say in the original language, in the Greek language, what this is. When you are filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit, you become a Cataluma. Do you feel like a Cataluma? Well, I think some of you do. Amen. Just teasing you. Cataluma in the Greek, here's what it means. So you know whether you is one or not. Amen. A Cataluma is a lodging place. A guest room. That's what Cataluma means. It's a lodging place. A guest room. It's a place that was set aside for travelers, where travelers could come in or the beast, and they could untie their packages and that type of thing when they were traveling in that particular time. But in the East, chivalry is uttermost. Now listen closely, because I'm taking you someplace about this divine guest. Now we've talked about him, but now we want to tell you to focus on him. In the East, unless you are invited to come into a lodging place or a home, you don't go there. You don't go there. This is the way they are. Search it out. Go on the internet today. Get your computer and find out what it is. And you'll find out that this is exactly the way it is. Once you are invited into that home, all attention is focused on you as the guest. You are the apple of their eye. You are the I am. Once you are invited into that home in the East, you are welcome there. But their total attention is on you, caring for you, loving you, make sure everything is supplied, given to you. Do you need anything? Amen? Can I get you anything? Would you like to have a drink of tea? Amen. Would you like to have a soft drink? What do you want? That's the way it is in the East. That's exactly what you'll find when he goes. And here's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes into you, and he is your divine guest. He becomes your guest. Can I get you anything, Holy Spirit? Is there anything that you want me to do or you don't want me to say or any place you don't want me to go? You with me so far? The divine guest lives within you. He is a divine guest. And when I submit my will to him and I invite him to come into me and fill me with the Holy Spirit, he becomes a divine guest in me. Just like you become a guest in a home in the East. When you go across that threshold in the East, you are everything to those people. Everything. All things. Whatever they can do for you, they will do it. Now, what the Lord is saying, when this divine guest comes into you, the Holy Spirit, you must treat him likewise. You just can't slouch around. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying, slouch around? That's Bedford County talk, I guess. Right? That's what that is. But listen to what the Lord is saying here. In Acts 2 and 1 to 4, he said, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Verse 2 says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. It set on each of them. And they were," in verse 4, "and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The divine guest living within them. All of a sudden, all 120 of those people in the upper room become a cataluma. They had a new guest. They wanted him. They needed him. And we need him in America today. Do you agree? God, do we ever need him? We need him to direct us and instruct us and tell us where we're to go and what we're to say and how we're to say it and how we're to think. Can you say amen? Not this COVID fog stuff. Can you say amen? Not that stuff. Amen. Not that. So there was a mighty sound. A mighty sound that filled the room. It's just a sound. It wasn't the wind. It was a sound. If you read it, it says sound. That's what it says. It says sound. In Acts 2:2, it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven." That's straight from God. God the Father sent the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. The sound filled the house. It wasn't a natural thing, an earthly sound. And I'm going to share something with you about that. But it was supernatural. It was a supernatural sound that God sounded. What did it sound like? A rushing mighty wind. It tells you that's exactly what it is. That's what he says. But it was just the sound. It doesn't say it was the wind. It wasn't that blowing. It said a sound of a rushing mighty wind, like a hurricane or a tornado. And I got to thinking about this, and I remember years ago, maybe some of you remember it, but I will never forget it. The wind started blowing where we live on the other side of Everett, And the wind always blows down through there, and that valley comes through the valley up here and right there, the valley, the cut, as we call it, there at Everett. And it just comes down through there. But I was outside. I heard a sound, and the wind was picking up. And I thought, well, what I better do is go out and make sure all the screen doors are closed on the homes. And that's what I was doing. I went out. And I was going home to home, closing the doors and making sure that all the doors was closed with the wind was kicking up. While I was out there, I had something happen to me that I've never had before, and I never had it happen since that. But it reminds me of this, of what God did. As I was coming around, I heard this sound. It was like a locomotive coming through the cut. And I thought, boy, to me, I thought, that is a strange sound. I'm sure they were thinking that. Can you say amen? Because this was a supernatural sound at that time. But at this time, it was a natural earthly sound. And it got my attention. So I went over and I started running towards the house because I had never heard that sound before. And I ran over and I couldn't make it back to the home. So there I was outside. And I grabbed a hold of the one truck that was sitting there, and I grabbed a hold of the handle and I held onto the handle of the truck. And I'm telling you, there was a wind. It wasn't like here. There was a wind come down through. I mean, that truck just sat there and it rocked and I held on. I didn't even have time to get inside it. Maybe you read about it in the newspaper. I don't know. But I know one thing. This guy was frightened at the sound. But here, it was also the wind. Because as I was outside standing, I saw the wind following the sound. And the wind come down and just picked homes up and just smashed them. Smashed one right into another. And I'm outside. But there it was the sound that got my attention. And that's what God is saying here, the sound got that 120's attention in the upper room. I knew. I started running. Well, those people in the upper room, they didn't run. But they say, wow, what the world is this sound? But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell. And he become a guest at all 120. The divine guest. How are you treating him? You say, well, I've been saved for 25 years. Doesn't matter. How are you treating him? Are you still treating him like a guest? Can you say amen? That's exactly what the Lord is saying here. So the divine guest, the advent of the divine guest himself took place in the upper room. And that's what you looked at some scripture, and that's exactly what the Bible has to say. I want to get back on Acts 2:4 again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. King James says ghost today, and all the translations says spirit. We'll go with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled. Meaning that every man, every woman, every person in the 120 in the upper room received the Holy Spirit. And from that time on, he was a divine guest in every one of them. So the things they said, the things they did, the places they went, they no longer went there. Can you say amen? That's what he does. When he comes in, if he comes in to your life and my life, it's because we invite him in. But boy, when you're ready, you better be ready to receive him as a guest. Can you say amen? And treat him as a guest. Because that's really who he is. But when he comes in, he comes in to take over. Can you say amen? You can't treat him. I know a lot of people, and I think, how in the world could they say what they say and do what they do? Well, they can't be listening to the guest. Amen. There's no way they can listen to him. Because he'll tell us. He's not a bit backward. It's like the Word of God. I don't like everything the Word of God says. And I don't think you do. How many of you enjoy everything the Word of God says? I don't see any hands going up. Because it isn't that way with me. I say, Lord, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. So the divine guest, I want to take you to your body. Now that you see what I'm talking about and who the divine guest is. He is the Lord of glory. That's the reason I said to you and showed you the scripture that you can read it. The Lord is that Spirit. Amen? So he didn't only go in to the places where they sold merchandise in the Bible. And he upset the tables. Well, I'm telling you, he'll upset your table. Can you say amen? Oh, yes, he will. He'll upset your table. He'll clean house. That's exactly who he is. When he comes in, he changes the way we think and the way we talk and the way we walk. Can you say amen? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Your body becomes the guest house for the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, do you not know that your body is the temple or the guest house of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? That's true. Can you say amen? Now, I don't hear any amens. Thank you. Thank you. I heard a couple up here. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. Amen? Because the guest, the divine guest, tells you to do that. And in your spirit, which are God's. So the Holy Spirit, we were singing, and I was, during worship time, we were singing about the Holy Spirit being in you. Well, that's absolutely true. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. When Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, he comes into you as absolutely a guest. He is a gift from God the Father. That's who he is. He is absolutely a guest. Even the Spirit of truth, the Bible says in John 14:7. It says, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you. And John says, and shall be in you. I'm convinced this is the reason a lot of people that say they're Christian, you don't see them acting like Christian, because the divine guest has to dwell within us and give us direction from within. It isn't just reading the word, but it's the one that lives in you. It's the one that dwells in you. It's the one that directs your life. Can you say amen? So God lays claim, according to what he's saying here, to your body. He said, don't you know? Don't you know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying to us. Can you say amen? So Jesus Christ paid a tremendous price when he bought you and paid for you on the cross. He paid the ransom. The ransom that was there, Jesus said, I'll pay the ransom. I'll pay it. Nobody has to pay it. He said, I'll pay it. It was his death. It was his blood. It's exactly what it was. And that's what the Lord is saying here to us. So Jesus himself was filled with the Holy Spirit. In Luke 3:22, and it said, then the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven that said, you are my beloved Son. In you, I am well pleased. And I must hurry. I'm looking at the clock and you're almost out of time. I'm almost out of time. Okay, thank you. I'll try to bring this to a close with this particular point because I think it's relevant. It's relevant to what the Lord is saying to us. So the Holy Spirit enters into you as a believer, as a divine guest, as an infilling and outflowing spirit. That's how he comes. Those of you that read the Word know the Bible says that God is spirit. He's not a spirit. He is spirit. If you read what he's saying. But so he comes to us. And I thought about this scripture, how powerful this is for you that read the Word and are interested in him. And the infilling and the outflow of the Spirit. And I thought back about the streams in the book of Genesis and how they flow. And I want to give you the meaning of those rivers and streams that was flowing. It'll just knock your socks off. How powerful it is. There's four rivers or streams that's listed in Genesis 2. If you want to find it and go back, you can please do that. But the Holy Spirit is referred to here as the Pison, Gihon, Hiddekel, and Euphrates streams that come out of the river out of the Garden of Eden. There is a river that flows out of the Garden of Eden. These are the four names that God uses for those four streams, branches off of that river that flows from the Garden of Eden. There's a river. That river has to come from God himself. Can you say amen? That's exactly what he's saying. What really got me about this in closing is the names, the meaning of these streams. It's so symbolic of the Holy Spirit, the guest that comes to live and dwell within us. The name Pison means overflowing. That's what that stream means, overflowing. It's like the guest that's in you is overflowing. He overflows my thinking. He overflows my hearing. He overflows my eyes. He overflows my walk. Can you say amen? That's what he does. But that's what God put in the Word. Then Gihon is another stream that comes off of that river in the book of Genesis. It means breaking forth. You can't talk to people very long until you're talking about Jesus. Can you say amen? That's just the way it is. Because when the guest lives in you, I mean, he's going to be overflowing into the lives and the people. Hiddekel is another one of those streams, comes off of that river, which you read about. It means velocity, the power, the velocity of God. And the river back of our house at Everett, when it rains and the river comes up, the velocity, the stream, it's amazing to me how that thing just comes up. And the more it comes up, the faster it goes. And that's the way he is. That's the way this divine guest is. The higher he gets, more of you that he gets a hold of. Amen? I mean, there's going to be an overflowing, I'll guarantee you. That's exactly what he's saying. And the last is the Euphrates, which we talk about. It's called sweet waters. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Comes forth as sweet waters. He's in you as a guest, a divine guest. He comes forth. In John 7:38, he said, "He who believes in me," Jesus said, "as the scriptures have said," and I think what I'm telling you in Genesis 2 is what he said. I know it's what he said. And he said, "as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Rivers. Powerful. Powerful. I trust God that you are home today and read that. Speak to your heart. Sweet waters. Sweet waters flows out of the people that have the divine guest living in them. Sweet waters with a velocity overflowing. Whew. Powerful. Powerful. That's with the Lord, and that's what where we are as far as he is concerned, what he's saying. And that's what we just read. You just read it. It's what he said in the scripture. Out of your being is going to be the river flowing out of your heart. And it's going to be sweet water to those people that's listening to you. Sweet waters. Stand with me, please, if you would.